Thanks everyone for coming out this Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock in Spanish Fork, Utah. And thanks to those who download these as podcasts from iTunes. I'd like to invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback by emailing us at utahchristians@gmail.com. We also have a membership class at our website, utahchristians.org. I'd like to thank those that have taken the membership class, become members, who couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today we'd like to talk to you about your spiritual DNA. It's easy to go through life thinking, I'm average, I'm ordinary, there's nothing special about me, I'm just one of 6 billion people on this planet. No, you're created in the image of God. You have His DNA. The truth is, there's nothing average about you. Too many times we don't stop to think about who we are. We focus on our weaknesses, what we don't have, the mistakes that we've made. We ended up settling for mediocrity when we're created for greatness. If you're going to break out of the average, you need to remind yourself every day, I have the DNA in me of Almighty God. There's greatness in my genes. I come from a long bloodline of champions. If you're an older football fan, you know the name of Archie Manning, who is a famous Hall of Fame quarterback. So what are the odds of not one, but two of his sons, Eli and Peyton, being both on the track to being Hall of Famers themselves? It's not a coincidence. It's in their blood. They have their father's DNA. That's in the natural. Now let's switch over to the supernatural. Our Supreme Father, who spoke worlds into existence, who flung the stars into the sky, who painted every wayside flower, He created millions and millions of entities out of Himself. He's not just the creator of the universe, the all-powerful Lord, He's also your Father. You have His DNA. Imagine what you can do. When you realize who you are, you won't go around insecure, intimidated, thinking that you're lacking, that you come from the wrong family. No, you come from the right family. Your Father created it all. When you know who you are, it changes your thinking from, I'm unlucky, I never get any good breaks, to, I have the Supreme Lord as my progenitor, my loving protector, and my shield. From, this challenge is too big, it's going to finish me, to, I can do anything within His will. From, I'm just an average student, all I can make are C's, to, I'm an A student, I'm not less than adequate, I'm more than enough. From, I don't have much of a personality, I'm not that attractive, to, I'm one of a kind, there's no one like me in the world, I have a contribution to make that only I can make. Nobody can do exactly what I'm equipped to do. When you know who you are, you'll start thinking like a winner, talking like a winner, acting like a winner, and carrying yourself like a winner. Now, don't you dare go around thinking that you're average, that you could never get out of debt, you could never accomplish your dreams, you could never construct that new temple, you could never break that addiction. Are you kidding? Learn to set your footing and set your vision. Krishna didn't make you so that you could just survive, just squeak by, just put food on the table. He gave you a higher calling. Our first job is to set our vision for greatness. And the small things will take care of themselves. The President of the United States, for instance, doesn't have to do his own laundry. You'll never see him walking down Pennsylvania Avenue with a duffel bag of his dirty laundry over his shoulder and quarters jingling in his pocket. He doesn't have to do his own laundry. He doesn't have to drive his own car. He doesn't have to fly his own plane. Why? Because he's got duties of a higher nature to discharge, and the small things are automatically taken care of. Similarly, Krishna, which is our name for God, He provided for our shelter. He provided for our food. He might not have provided everything that you want. As Gandhi says, God has provided enough for our needs, but He hasn't necessarily provided enough for our greed. But He's taken care of all the physical. Now He wants to see what you're going to do with what He put on the inside. The animals are eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And if we simply, as a so-called advanced society, engage only in polished eating, polished sleeping, polished mating, and polished defending, all that means is that we become polished animals. But we are called to be and to do more than the animals. We're expected to do more than that. We're expected to live fulfilled, purposeful, effective, healthy, debt-free lives, enjoying good relationships. This is all normal considering who we are and whose we are. Anything less would be a disappointment. It would be normal if you're a devotee to construct a magnificent temple. Be normal for you, keeping God first place, to lead the company in sales. Should be normal for you to be the king, team captain. Normal to raise great children. Normal for you to be happy, prosperous, smiling, considering who you are and whose you are. We are all the sons and daughters of God. Now it's up to us to act like it. Prabhupada, our spiritual master, was once asked what he thought about the claims of Christians that Jesus Christ was the only Son of God. Prabhupada said, no, we're all sons of God, but in his time, Jesus was the only one who acted like it. The extraordinary faith and devotion that Jesus showed in this world is totally ordinary and commonplace in the spiritual world. It's not a coincidence that every year the horses who win the Kentucky Derby are offspring of other champions. It can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to breed your mare to a champion stallion. Winners don't just randomly happen, it's in their DNA, and that's what sets those horses apart. When the little colt is born, his legs are spindly and wobbly, can barely stand up. He's ugly looking, he's weak looking, he doesn't look any different from any other ordinary horse. But the owners who spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, they put so much research into him. They're not concerned about his present weaknesses, his colors, whether he's pretty or not, or even how muscular he is. They are totally confident knowing that inside that colt flows the blood of a champion. Similarly, you and I do not come from ordinary stock. We can supersede the mistakes we've made, our weaknesses, our looks, our heights, and our weights by knowing that on the inside we have the blood of a champion. Your relative Sukadeva Goswami spoke the 20,000 verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam from memory. Your elder brother Arjuna defeated the hosts of the Kaurava armies at the Kurukshetra War. Your cousin, Prahlad Maharaj, walked out of the fire unharmed. Your nephew, Dhruva Maharaj, by his austerities, stopped the whole universe from breathing. Your grandfather, Lord Brahma, engineered the universe. Your uncle, Madhvacharya, wrestled a tiger into submission. Another uncle, Vyasadeva, in a single sitting, spoke the epic Mahabharata, which is 10 times longer than the Iliad and the Odyssey combined. Your brother Hanuman jumped 800 miles across the ocean and set the city of Lanka on fire. There is increase, abundance, prowess, heroism, and intelligence in your bloodline. You are born as a champion, born to victory, born to overcome. You're eternal, everlasting, indestructible. You'll not be slain when the body is slain. Listen, doesn't matter what your present circumstances look like. That addiction did not come to stay. Freedom is in your DNA. That sickness is not permanent. Health is in your DNA. Lack, struggle, barely getting by, that's not your destiny. What's in your DNA is increase, expansion, new horizons, and abundance. You even have power over death. For those who put God first place, death is not the end. It's only the beginning. I love this poem by John Donne. O vital spark of heavenly flame, quit, O quit this mortal frame, trembling, hoping, lingering, flying, O the pain, the bliss of dying. Cease, fond nature, cease thy strife, and let me languish into life. Hark, they whisper, angels say, sister spirit, come away. What is this absorbs me quite, steals my senses, shuts my sight, drowns my spirit, draws my breath, tell me, O soul, can this be death? The world recedes, it disappears. Heaven opens and my eyes, my ears, with sound, seraphic ring, lend, lend your wings, I mount, I fly, O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Are we supposed to live average, lonely lives, always getting the short end of the stick? Let me tell you, a father loves all of his children irrespective, but the ones who act as his children, putting him first place, for them he has particular care and concern. Them he will raise, them he will bring to health, and them he will prolong their lives. Because they will do his works, he will empower them and celebrate them as his good and faithful servants. He will give them victory in their efforts to spread his holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Our mission in life is to spread the holy names of the Lord far and wide. In 1989, we had an idea to use the Festival of Colors as a springboard for getting more people to come and to chant the holy names of the Lord. And the first Festival of Colors that we celebrated in 1989 was down at the log house. This building wasn't even built. There were five devotees, three Indians, and four BYU students. And in recent years, we've had up to 75,000 people come over a two-day period with the predetermination to chant and dance their lungs out. That is what mercy of Krishna. For those who put God first place, good breaks chase them down. You don't have to chase good breaks. The good breaks are going to be in your rear view mirror overtaking you. The good fortune of those who are devoted is only superseded by their good fortune. We hear that God is not different from his name. And so there's names of God available in every spiritual text in every culture in the world. There are 200 different names in the Old Testament by which God is called. There are 99 names which the Muslims chant. And in India, there's a prayer called the Thousand Names of God, Vishnu Sahasranama. Vishnam, Vishnam, Vishad Karo, Bhuta Bhava Bharat, Bhuta Brid, Bhuta Brid, Bhutatma, Bhuta Bhavana. That's one verse. There's 106 more verses. It takes about 40 minutes to chant the whole thing. But it is said that if you say Krishna one time, let's just say it, Krishna. That took what? 1 second. It says saying Krishna one time is equal in value. It is equal in potency to saying the entire 1,000 names of God. Why? Because Krishna means all attractive. So whether a name of God refers to his beauty or to his wealth or to his fame or his knowledge, at the end of the day, he's all attractive. And so that's the most potent, the most all-encompassing name. Now, at the very least, saying Krishna would save you 39 minutes and 59 seconds if you're a busy person. But if you're a little bit more astute, if you recognize a golden opportunity, if you have an MBA, you won't stop with one recitation of Krishna. You'll continue compounding your good fortune to the point where it cannot even be calculated or estimated. In the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Shalpamabhyasya dharmasya treyate mahatobhyat. Even a little bit of chanting of the names of God, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, saves you from more danger than you could ever imagine. So what if someone takes that and parlays it to their advantage, makes of it a regular, consistent, daily practice? Their good fortune cannot even be estimated. We read in the Srimad Bhagavatam about King Prithu. He was a very Krishna-conscious king. He chanted, he served in the temple. He encouraged all of his citizens to become God-conscious and to center their lives around God so that they would have unlimited good fortune. Finally, he died. His body was placed on the funeral pyre. The flame was put to it. And in the heavenly planets are where pious, righteous, altruistic, philanthropic people go after death. And in the heavenly planets, life is hundreds of thousands of years long. And the standard of living is far, far greater than what we enjoy here. So in the heavenly planets, they look down on earth. And here's the righteous, pious Maharaj Pariksit. His body is being cremated. And his spiritual self rises from the pyre. And it goes up and up. And the denizens of the heavenly planets, they're not aware of any realms above them. They think that they're the cat's meow, that they've got to the highest point. So they're anticipating that Preetu Maharaj is going to join them, and they're stepping forward as he rises to fold him into their embrace and to welcome him. He rises, he comes equal to them, and then he keeps going up. He keeps going up and up and up and up beyond their vision. He said, I didn't even know there was some place higher than the heavenly planets. But the fact is, those denizens of the heavenly planets are held aloof by the strength, the fuel of their pious activities on earth. But when the fuel is exhausted and they run out of their good karma, they again have to come back and take another birth on earth. Whereas those who go to back to the kingdom of God on the strength of what we call bhakti or devotion, they never again return to this world of birth and death. That is their good fortune. I heard about a mother that used to put her little son, 2 or 3 years old, to bed every night, expressing how much he meant to her by comparing him to the various comic book heroes. Could those girls just relax a little bit? She would say every night, you're my Power Ranger. You're my Captain America. You're my Superman. And the little boy would lie there with a big smile on his face, just drinking it all in. So one day, the family got home late. They'd been somewhere. So she tucked the kids into bed. She had to get up early in the morning. And so she went to her bed. But it wasn't very long before she heard her little son calling down the hall, Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. She went as quickly as she could. Son, what is it? She said, Mommy, you forgot to tell me who I am. A lot of people haven't heard who they are. They've only heard the negative voices. You're not talented. You'll never get married. You'll never get out of debt. You come from the wrong family. As long as those voices are playing, it's going to keep you from your destiny. If nobody ever told you who you are, let me help you out this afternoon. You are a child of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original person, the primeval Lord, from whom all the worlds, phenomenal and noumenal, emanate, on whom everything is resting as pearls on a thread. You are strong, you are talented, you are creative, courageous, and wise. You don't come from ordinary stock. You're a thoroughbred. You have winning DNA. If you doubt it, just check your birth certificate. It's right there in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna claims all living beings as his parts and parcels. Mamai vamsha jive loke jiva bhuta sanatana. And in the 14th chapter, Aham bija prarapita says, I am the seed-giving father of all living entities. So what kind of seeds do you think come from the all-powerful Lord? They are seeds in which weakness, lack, fear, intimidation, mediocrity are conspicuous by their absence. So let's have a little bit of boldness. Let's claim our right to be free, to be happy, to be whole. Our natural bloodlines may have some negative things in them, but our spiritual bloodline will always trump the material. The spirit is greater than the material. Scientists talk about Mother Nature being the source of life. But nature never acts independently. As soon as you say nature, you have to ask your question, whose nature? A woman, for instance, can never produce a child independently. She provides the physical elements, she provides the nurturing, but she cannot independently produce a child. Let's say some obviously pregnant lady comes in the room, and we say, oh, you're pregnant, when's your due date, blah, 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 blah. Who's the father? No father, I just did it myself. There must be a father. Without the father to inject the spirit soul, the life, the body itself cannot spring to life. So it is our supreme father who created that spirit. We are not byproducts of matter. So don't make the mistake of gauging and valuing your work based on the things that you can see, based on material elements, based on your height, based on your weight, based on your gender, based on your economic status, based on your ethnicity. Before and after death, what we can see is this body, the head, the torso, the legs, the arms. And after that which we cannot see, the eternal spirit soul leaves this body, that same body you love to hold the hand, you love to go on moonlight walks, you love to gaze into those eyes and call them limpid pools of liquid moonlight. That same body wants that which we cannot see. The ineffable spirit soul leaves it. The body very quickly becomes an object of disgust. I heard about a king whose young son died in infancy, and he was very attached to that son. So he got the body of his son in a windowless, airless room, and he was clutching that body to his chest, begrieved and crying, crying, crying. So one day went by, and he's clutching the body and crying. 2 days went by, he was clutching the body and crying. Third day, there began to be just this little sort of unpleasant odor. So he's still clutching the body and crying, but not quite so intensely as he had before. Fourth day, the odor became indeedly strong and oppressive and not at all pleasant. And then the fifth day, the eye popped out. So the king opened the door, he called the servant, he says, "Get him out of here." He says, "Get him out of here." So the body can be defeated, the soul cannot. The body can rot, the soul cannot. The body is prone to error, the soul cannot. The body can be cut, the soul cannot. The body can be burned, the soul cannot. The body can be drowned, the soul cannot. And Krishna sees that inner soul. He doesn't see your external size, weight, ethnicity, skin color. He sees the inner self which he created. You may have no great accomplishments in your past. You may think of yourself as average, ordinary, nothing special, but Krishna sees the inner self, the indestructible self, the courageous, the heroic, the wise self that was fashioned for greatness by his very own hands. He sees that self which is a champion. You may have not done anything great to date, but Krishna knows that of which you are capable, and he calls you a hero, a conqueror. Now the key is to stop listening to those negative voices and start seeing yourself as Krishna sees you, as Krishna made your inner self. I heard about an eagle that lived all its life in a chicken coop. He associated with the chickens. He engaged in chicken talk. He ate chicken food with them, and he thought he was a chicken. But then one day he looked up in the sky, and there he saw soaring high above an eagle, and something in his DNA called him to join that eagle up in the stratosphere. So he announced to his chicken buddies that he was going to try to become like that eagle. His chicken buddies laughed, and they guffawed, and they slapped their knees and doubled over with laughter. "Oh, you can't do that. You're a chicken." But he had begun to see himself differently. He'd begun to notice that his wings were bigger and stronger and longer than the chickens. And so he didn't allow them to dissuade him. He started flapping his wings, and he started running to beat everything. And then he just smashed up against the side of the chicken coop. And the chicken said, "Ah, we told you so. Who do you think you are?" But he persisted, and day after day he exercised. He got stronger. And one day he ran, he flapped his wings, and he achieved liftoff. And he rose up higher, higher, ascended. Finally, he found himself way, way up there in the sky. And running over and over and over in his mind was the refrain, the chorus, "This is who I am. This is what I made for. This is why I was created." Some of you have been in the chicken coop too long. Don't let that limited environment rub off on you. Don't let how you were raised or your education or your family background or what someone said about you keep you from knowing who you really are. Check your birth certificate. You'll find the Supreme Lord, creator of millions of universes, claims you as his own. You're not a Smith or a Jones. You're not a Patel, a Singh, an American, or an Indian, but you are a Das, which is a Sanskrit word to mean part and parcel servant of the Supreme Lord. You are his emissary, his ambassador, his representative. You were never created to be ordinary, average, or mediocre. You were created for greatness. You are created to soar above, to see things from God's perspective, to work his mission in the world, to be a guide, a light, a rescuer, a redeemer, a restorer, an inspiration. Now get rid of that chicken mentality and start having an eagle mentality. Get a God-sized vision for yourself. Get a God-sized mission. Accomplish some God-sized dreams. Make a God-sized difference in the world. It's what's expected of you, knowing who you are and whose you are. You're a mighty hero. You're a thoroughbred. You've got the bloodlines of a world changer. You come from a line of champions. Your relatives are the stuff of which legends are made. Epics are written about whom songs are sung and passed down through the ages. That's what happens when you know who you really are. Now, you may work with some chickens. You may have some chickens as your neighbors, even some as your relatives. You may be married to a chicken, but you need to draw the line and start saying, I may be in a limited environment, but I'm not settling here. I know who I am. I'm going to remind myself every day of who I really am. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now I know that if I do this, I will soar to new heights, rise above the petty, the ordinary, the mundane, the insignificant. I know that I will set new levels for me, for my family, and my generation. I will become everything Krishna wants me to become in this life and the next life. Go back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much for your kind attention. If you receive this message, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare.